Amen. Hey, for some of you guys, man, I don't even know you. I haven't seen you. My name is James, one of the pastors here. I've been, just real quick, I've been with the church. I got here about 2 months after it started. And back in the gym. Yeah, you were there. Kilgannon was there. Old heathen, you. He was there. But, you know, I was at the church, and I heard Pastor Stovall preaching, and he was talking about, I mean, this was in, like, this was in 98, and I think it was in December. And he was just up there, man, and he was sharing his mistakes, and he was talking about football. And I was like, man, I like this guy. Sharing the mistakes and talking about football. And right after the service, he puts the mic down, and he walks straight over to me. Now, let me explain something real quick. I'm from Pittsburgh, and I had moved here from New York City, and my friend used to tell me, we got some security in here, Uncle Dave. Now, I moved here from New York City, and people were telling me, man, you know, when you get to the South, the whole black-white thing. I was like, oh, okay. And so I'm sitting in this church, and it's me and my wife is Puerto Rican and my kids, and Pastor Stovall comes out, and he's with this funny accent. So after the service was over, he puts the mic down, he starts walking over towards us. So I'm like, dude's going to kick us out of his church. And he walks over, and he's like, hey. I was like, hey, what? And he was like, my name's Stovall. I said, I don't care what your name is, man. What do you want? You know, my first time in there. And he just was like, hey, man, how you doing? And I was just like, hey, I like you, man. I said, I'll come back. He said, you're going to come back? I said, yeah, I'll come back. And I just started serving and had no idea I was going to be a pastor. That was not even on the Richter scale. And one day I was just, I came on staff to work with some athletic stuff. And he just came up to me one time. He goes, walking down the hall, I believe you got the gift to preach and teach. I said, no, I don't. He said, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. He goes, yes, you do. I said, okay, I guess I do. And I started, we did something that was called a power lunch back at down on Bay Meadows. And I just share what God shows me. I mean, I'm no one special or anything. I just share what God shows me. But he shows me in a very unique way, people tell me. And it's different from, you know, I mean, I just run up and down the street and God will show me some things. But today we're talking about difficult people. Is that what you guys been talking about with Pastor Chris? Look, man, I'm telling you what, I'm so tired. Not from getting up, man. I've just been doing a lot of stuff for the church. And if Pastor Chris wasn't my friend, I wouldn't be here. Because we're talking about dealing with difficult people. He's one of them in my life. I'm just kidding. I'll be honest with you, though. Pastor Stovall, I've said this before. Pastor Stovall got me here to Celebration Church. Pastor Chris kept me here because, man, he would put me under his wing. We used to do something. We used to pray at 5:30 in the morning every Friday. And were you there, Bill? At 5:30 in the morning, man, we would pray. We would get into it. And at the time, I could just move down here. At the time, I only had one vehicle. And so Pastor Chris would take me to UNF. I was teaching at UNF. But it would be 7 o'clock in the morning. It'd be freezing out. And he'd have his AC on and the windows down. And we were just getting to know each other. I just didn't have the heart to say, dude, at least turn the heat on or something, man. Put the window up or something. It's freezing in here. I mean, there's 2 inches of snow on the floor where I'm at. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, this, man, it's freezing. And but his driving, when he preached about his driving, he can't drive. He really can't. But he's a very good friend of mine. But you get a chance. Did everyone get some notes? I can't possibly go over this whole thing in 20 minutes. You got the clock up anyway, Q? Okay. I can't possibly go over this whole thing in 20 minutes. So for those of you who don't get the answers and you want the answers, you can come up to me later and you say, hey, man, give me the answers. But it's talking about manipulation. And I've been there. Some of you have been there, been manipulated. But it was interesting. Pastor Chris told me this joke about a guy who went to heaven and he's just standing in the line and like, these are the guys who get controlled by their wives and these are the guys who don't get controlled by their wives. And there's a long line of the guys who get controlled by their wives. And there's one guy standing in the line who doesn't get controlled by his wife. And they go up to him like, dude, aren't you in the wrong line? He goes, no, I'm in the right line. He goes, no, we all are getting controlled by our wives. This is the line we're in. He goes, no, my wife told me to stand in this line and just shut up and be here. I'm like, okay. But manipulation. And you know what? I was looking at this. You know, a lot of us, and if I'm missing one, you tell me, a lot of manipulation comes in with either a spouse slash girlfriend, or it's with a friend or a family member, or a boss, supervisor, a parent, or a child. And if I missed one, let me know. But that's a lot of times where supervision comes in. And there's in our notes, it talks about three manipulating people who got manipulated. I can't go over all of them. I'm going to stay with Samson and Delilah. But Jacob got manipulated by Esau, his brother, and stole his birthright. And then a woman manipulated Herod. It's note number two. And then you got Delilah manipulating Samson. And talk about that a little bit here. Let me get my notes here. And I have written down here, you know, the reason that this whole manipulation occurs is we want a healthy relationship with some people, a really good, healthy relationship. And so what happens is things start to turn and they start getting manipulated. And there's a manipulator who manipulates someone. But I'm gonna leave that alone. I'll get into it. But it doesn't always work like that, because there are times when motives are involved behind manipulation. Some is intentional and some is done unintentional. And we'll talk about that. And there are people that they live their whole lives being manipulated and manipulating. That's all they know. And there's a lot of times where I'm speaking to couples and it's just, that's what's going on. And they don't even see it. And they don't even understand it, because it's a way of life. It's the way that their mother has treated them, or a mother has treated a son, and it just goes on and on. And that's why, if you ever been at a wedding that I do, first thing I do, I stand the mother and father up of the bride, and I stand the mother, father up, and the groom, and I go into Genesis. It says, a man shall leave his, some of you in here, I've done it with, a man shall leave his mother and his father and cleave to his wife. That's basically a nice way for the Bible to say, stay out their business. Just stay out of the business. And I'll run into people who are, and this is not even my notes, I'm just going off the top of my head, and I'll run into people, and this is no condemnation on you. I'll run into people and they'll tell me, yeah, I live right across the street from my mother, right down the street from my mother-in-law. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? And they don't, but see, they don't understand, because that's the way it's happened in their families. And then they're and with their other brothers and sisters. So that manipulation, sometimes we don't even understand why it happens. But if in Judges 16, verse 15 and 16, this is interesting. Delilah wanted to know the secrets and the strengths of how of Samson, how his hair and his strength was. And then she said, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me?" With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. In other words, what she was doing is she kept on him over and over and over. Samson, what is it? Well, how are you so strong? Why are you so strong? Why are you so strong? Now, this is what I thought was interesting. If you ever read this story, three times she's like, Samson, why are you so strong? And he's like, well, if you braid my hair this way, blah, 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 you can really mess me up. And I'm paraphrasing. You can really get to me. And so she does it. And then she sends some Philistines in, and they come in and they try to jump on him, and he breaks from them. And then she goes back and she goes, well, Samson, how is your strength? And he goes, well, if you do this to my hair, or do this, then I can be bound. And it happens again. So the third time he says something, you know, basically, if you take these bones or whatever and you put them in my hair, it'll make me weak. And she does it again, and he gets up and breaks it off. Now, I'm not a smart person, but if I was there, I'd be like, yo, Sammy, you got to get out of a relationship, dog. You got to get out of it. She's manipulating you. She's trying to kill you. But now watch this. He doesn't even know what's going on. He doesn't even know what's happening. He doesn't even know he's being manipulated. And there's sometimes we'll get into relationships because we're head over heels for a woman, and it's like, I love her so much, I don't care if she's disrespecting me. I don't care if she slaps me. I don't care if she spits on me. I don't care if she says these bad things about me. Being manipulated. But sometimes we're just blind to it. Number one, we want to be blind to it. Because here's what I've learned, and some of you can agree with me. There were times when I'm just going to be real with you, man. I wasn't always a Christian. A lot of you heard my testimony. I wasn't always a Christian. And I would date girls. I can tell you in about a week if these were the type that I was going to stay with for a while, or was the type I wasn't going to stay with for a while. And there were times when it was just the whining and the, you got to do this for me. And if you don't do this for me, you don't love me and everything like that. And there was just times I'm just like, fine, go. Because I was just a believer that there's a lot of fish out there. I just believe that. But what would happen is they would manipulate to try to get what they want. And it's not just women. Men do it. Men do it with money. They do it with money. It's like, you don't do what I ask you to do, you don't get any money. I take this. I run this. I control this. And it's a manipulation. She asked him three times. Every time she told him he was bound up, and just, it was manipulation. And so the key there is that there are times, it's funny because friends on the outside can see it. We can all see it. But when you're in it, you can't see it. And that's when, man, I was talking to Q this morning. I was like, you know what? The first thing I had to do when I was a Christian, the first thing after I asked God to come into my life, I had to change some of the friends I hung out with, man. I had to. I loved them. But it's like, dude, I can't keep going into clubs with you, man. And I tried it. And it was like, you know, hey, man, give me a rum and coke. And I'd stand there and I'd hold it and I'd be like, I'm going to church tomorrow. I ain't want it. I just wasted $5. I wasn't mad because I couldn't drink. I just wasted $5. But I really had to change my friends. And the reason I say I had to change my friends is just because when that manipulation happens, if you have some friends who love you, who truly love you and truly are for you, that's what I have. There was a guy here. Some of you knew him. His name was John Shifford. And John's about 6'6". John, I always had this thing called John Shifford language. John Shifford, if John didn't like, dude, your shirt's wrinkled and doesn't look right. And that was the way he said it in love. He just shot straight. And he said something to me one day that I didn't like, and I stopped. And I said, Lord, why is he saying this? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, is this somebody that you love? And is this somebody who wants to see you do well? And I said, yes. And then he said, well, consider what he was saying. And the reason I say that is because you'll have some friends who are around you who truly love you, who truly want to help you, and they'll stand outside and they'll look at you and they'll say, you know what, man? You're being manipulated. And what we do, oh, man, come on, you don't even know. Hey, man, I'm just your friend. I don't get anything out of this. It ain't like if I tell you manipulate, I go down to the bank and they give me a check for $25. I'm your friend and I love you and you're being manipulated. And so that's why I said with my friends, I had to change my friends. I had to get to some godly relationships and men who I knew that they were also in God and they were trying to do the best they could in God. So when I had a problem or a situation happened or a manipulation came up, they can be able to speak into my lives. I'm telling you, man, it's huge. It's huge because, I mean, I'm dealing with situations. I'm sitting in my office and I'm talking to women who are thinking about getting a divorce. And you know who they're talking to? Women who've been divorced. I'm like, are you kidding me? But they don't understand. They just don't understand. And that's why, oh man, that's a whole nother lesson. But we just have to stay in godly relationships. Two ways manipulators love to get us. Threats and guilt. Threats and guilt. It's interesting because in the threats, it's one of these numbers. Especially when there's a manipulation, when it's when you're working for a boss. If you don't want to work here, then you can do X, Y, and Z. And it's just like, oh, man. And you're like, okay, the paycheck, or do I have to put up with this guy? All right, not all the time, but that's part of manipulation. In relationships, it's if you don't do this, I'm leaving. Or if you don't tell me, I'm going to hang up. I used to love that one when I was dating girls. It's like, if you don't like tell me, I'm going to hang up. Fine, hang up. But what I was trying to do, and I wasn't even a Christian, but my whole thing was I was trying to do is, I can't give you the power over this. I can't give you the power over this. This is supposed to be a relationship where two people are coming together, even in a marriage. Now, my wife doesn't do that to me. You know, if you don't tell me, I'll hang up. Because, see, in the courting period, if that were to happen, I would have been like, this is not one of those type of girls I want to marry. Because somewhere down the line, and I'm not even, man, let me get on this for a minute. If you're dating someone right now, please help me. If you're dating someone and things are not going good in the dating process, probably if you get married, it ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Because now it's legal, and now it's like you got to deal with it. That's just a little side note, okay? That's a little extra. I know you didn't pay for that, but that's just a little extra. If you're dating, I'm just letting you know. But manipulation, it comes through threats, and it comes through guilt. Again, I love this. If you really, really love me, you'll do what I asked. Oh, I love that one. If you really love me, you'll do what I asked. I like this. I thought we were close, but I guess we're not that close. Manipulation. I'll never bring that up. I guess we were close. After I've done all for you, you don't want to do this one for me. See, here's what I've learned. I got this written down. In all my relationships, I don't expect anything. I don't expect, I'm good friends with John Y. I don't expect anything from John, okay? So if John ever does something nice for me, praise God. But I don't expect it. You understand what I'm saying? I don't expect things from people. Only thing I expect is that God, you know, I'm just going to serve you, and I know your word says all things work together for those who love you, Lord, and called according to your purpose. So here's what I expect. If I die, I go to heaven. That's about it. That's what I expect. So I don't expect anything from people in my in my relationships. I expect them to love me and respect me, but I don't expect you give because I give. No, at my house, sometimes I fold the laundry. If I'm sitting down watching a basketball game or something, I'll just fold the laundry because I'm going to be sitting there. And I don't do one of these numbers to my wife. She's like, come on, let's be real, man. I'm like, she only have sex with me? Oh, well, I folded the laundry. No, you didn't fold the laundry to have sex with you. Why? You folded the laundry because you just wanted to help out around the house. Okay? And that's what I do. So I really don't expect much in my relationships except for the fact that, hey, we're friends. We love the Lord. We go to church. Even if there are some people that I'm acquaintances with who are not Christians, I don't expect anything from them either. It's just this is a relationship thing. Am I making myself clear? You know, I don't expect. And because I don't expect, if they don't do, fine. If they do, fine. But I don't expect anything. Guilt, trying to control our emotions, our kids. Man, I have a 16-year-old daughter. She's good at this. Go back and forth with mom and dad. Back and forth. She is a pro at this. She was just on punishment because she wasn't doing well in school. And then she got her progress report and she was doing well. And now she was coming back to me and said, Daddy, am I off punishment? And I'm like, let me ask your mother. Because here's what's going to happen. Sure, you're off punishment. And then my wife's going to say, no, she needs to be punished one more week because, well, Daddy said that you can manipulate it. Here I'm being manipulated by a 16-year-old girl. It's my 16-year-old daughter being manipulated. I'm supposed to be Jay Peasy, man. Get manipulated by my 16-year-old daughter. Okay? The whole pouting and the silent treatment. Let me move on to that. We'd have to learn to break the power. We have to learn to break the power of manipulation. Some are so used to living in it that we don't even understand it. We got to break the power. The number one, it says, recognize when someone is trying to control you. This was good. I was reading this morning. This is in Matthew 16. It says, Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Now, this is what I truly believe. When I said that manipulation, sometimes it's intentional and sometimes it's unintentional. I really don't believe Peter was trying to really keep Jesus from the cross on purpose. But what he was trying to do, and if we get into it, I'll share the scripture. What he was trying to do, he was trying for me. This is like, this is my Jesus. Me and him, we need to be together here because, you know, it's Jesus and it's me, you, Jesus, and everything's cool. And you'll see sometimes where people through manipulation, they're going to do the thing that's best for them and not what's best in general. And that's what Peter was doing. Peter was keeping Jesus from the cross. And the reason that he said, get behind me, Satan, is because when Satan was tempting Jesus, Satan was trying to keep Jesus from the cross. So when Peter came up with that same line, Jesus was like, I've been down this road before. You got to get behind me, man. I've got to go to the cross. I've got to do this. This is not a your thing, Peter. This is not what's going to be best for you. This is going to be best for all of us. And that's another one of the other things that I wanted to share is that sometimes when you're at work or you're with some other friends or you're in a relationship, it's what I always say, what is the godly thing? Now, there's times I'm here at Celebration Church and I don't always agree. I don't always agree. But I have to filter it with what is the godly thing to do? What is God? Is it about me or is it about God? Is it about me or is it about people coming to know Christ? Is it about me? Because sometimes it's uncomfortable and it's sometimes I just don't want to do it. But the bigger picture is it about me or is it about God? And that's where some deep manipulation comes in. It's like this thing is for me. This is not going to work on me. Control. So we got to the control, correct? Oh, man, I'm not going to have enough time. Let me go to number two, and then I'll try to finish up. This is the second thing is on the back. It says, this is not going to work on me. In other words, when you recognize that there's manipulation, you say to yourself, this is not going to work on me. And one of the things that happens in manipulation is people do one of these numbers, especially when we're in groups. They'll pull someone aside and they'll say, hey, look here, Kevin. You see Bill over there? You know, Bill is not, it doesn't have the best interest in your hand. But it's interesting because as soon as we get in a group, I've never gone to Kevin out in a group and say, hey, Bill's the one that's done. A lot of manipulation happens like this. hey, let me tell you something. And right then and there, when that happens, you've got to really filter. Some of it is good, and some of it makes sense. But when you're in a relationship or you're in a business or and people are coming and trying to whisper things about you here, especially about the boss or the guy over, I'm telling you, man, I was praying one day, and the Lord spoke to me because I was getting ready to complain about some stuff, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, you know what, son? One day you're going to be the boss. And you better hope and pray I don't send somebody that's just like you. That's why I was like, okay, all right. Come on, man. You have to say it two or three times, and you have to broadcast it. And so I've learned that although everything doesn't go right, I mean, look, we're dealing with people. You start dealing with people, things are going to happen. You see that red couch back there? Red couch is fine. Put some people in it, something's going to happen to it sooner or later. Stains may break. Something always happens when you start dealing with people. And when you're dealing with people, and you got to understand who you're dealing with, man, and then all, you know, well, be very careful. Be very careful. And what I try to do is just tell people, well, you know, we should just pray about it. And I've come to learn, and as the older I get, when I say, let's pray about it, I mean right now. And your people say, you know, pray for my, come on, let's pray right now. So I don't have to go home and get on my prayer and say, I got to pray for this one, pray for this one. No, you just do it right there. But in the past, you may have been able to control me. You let people know, nope, it's not happening anymore. But you need to understand from this point on forward that this is not going to work on me. Sometimes you just got to tell people, look, you've been trying to manipulate me for the longest. It's not happening anymore. It's not happening anymore. Anymore. And the relationship may suffer. Let me ask you a question. It's difficult. Would you rather be in a situation where it's, I'm always being manipulated, or would you rather be in a situation where you're like, okay, let me back up. Because I talked to guys and come to me, I really love this woman, man. She's a good woman. I love this woman. I want to be married, blah, 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 and this and that. But she's got these issues. I'm like, would you rather be all with those issues, or would you just rather be by yourself? I'm telling you, man. I mean, you know, I see it. I see it a lot. And I'm still working on my relationship with my wife. I'm not the greatest, but I'm getting there. And I've talked to a lot of people that are like, man, it's this and it's that. And there's some manipulation and there's control and everything like that. And you've got to understand, if you're going to get into a relationship with a woman and she's had some control issues before, you better understand it. You better understand it. Because she's now got to submit to you. But how's she going to submit when she's had some control issues? And there was some manipulation. You better understand it. If you're in a relationship with that individual. Q, what time are we supposed to be finished? Right now? I didn't even get to all the answers. Praise God. But listen, all right, let me give you the answers on the back. It says you can't say no to a certain, or you can't say no to a person. That's how you know you're being manipulated. You can't say no to a certain person. You always feel guilty. Ooh. You feel ultimately responsible. You comprise your values to please others. Oh, I didn't even get into that one, man. Comprise your values to please others. And did I get into three, redefine the relationship? It's number three. That's me. You know what? Look at these. And what I would really suggest you do is look at that scripture in Matthew 16, 21, 23. If you don't have a study Bible, if you don't have a study Bible that has footnotes, please get one. If you don't know where to get one, ask myself, ask Q, ask John, ask some people, a study Bible, because it helps to help you with some things. It connects. Man, the New Testament, it's the Old Testament. It's just things that's taken out and it's back. And you would think, oh, I can't get in that. But listen, if you have a study Bible, I would really suggest that you get a study Bible and look at some of this stuff, and you'll see where this came up. And that's where I was looking at when Jesus went to Peter, and Peter was like, no, you don't have to go anywhere. And then my study Bible says, go to this chapter. And it goes back, and Jesus is dealing with the devil, and the devil's like, no, we're going to keep you from the cross. No, get thee behind me, Satan. You know. But you get a study Bible, and it helps. I'm telling you, it will open your head like you're smelling Vicks. I mean, it just opens all kind of stuff. And you'll realize, you'll be like, man, God is amazing. I'm telling you. Okay?